Well, yesterday we talked with Barb Fuller about the health part of the Small Steps to Health and Wealth Conference session, seminar, whatever you want to call it, that's coming up here very soon on January 19th and 26th. Today we're going to talk about the wealth part with Mary Beth Kaufman, who's an Iowa State University Extension Family Finance Specialist. Mary Beth, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
Time is money.
It is. That's right. It is. And you know, actually, I think that might be one of the steps that we talk about in this. Actually, this program came from Rutgers University, and they have 25 steps. But we're pulling 10 of them out. Yeah, 25 is a lot, but we're pulling 10 of them out during the program. And Barb's doing 5 and I'm doing 5, but we're talking about nutrition and we're talking about health and we're talking about finances and all of them.
Health and wealth. We kind of joked with Barb that most people would look at that and say the only commonality between the two is that they rhyme, but you really can parlay one into the other.
You really can. And you know, I'm sure you've talked about New Year's resolutions. And when you think about people setting New Year's resolutions, they're probably lots of times related to health or wealth. So they do. And a lot of the concepts, you know, the basic, it's really about behavior change. And that's relevant whether it's for health issues or wealth related issues.
New Year's resolutions fail all the time, at an incredibly high rate, I might add.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different reasons for that. But tying health, wealth, those types of things together, your finances and your food choices and healthy living choices and things like that, is that maybe one reason why sometimes these things fall apart on us when we make resolutions, is because we don't consider the whole?
The big picture, right. And I think even just thinking about what's realistic and starting small. You know, somebody may want to lose. I used to be a home economist, so I talk health and I talk wealth. So, and I should be focusing on the wealth. Let's say wealth. Somebody wants to save, you know, say $100,000 in a 401k or whatever by the time they retire. Well, that's, you know, that's a great goal, but how are we going to get there? So it's really a matter of breaking it down. Okay, so what does that mean to me today? What do I need to do today to get to that? How much do I need to put away, you know, every month? And where am I going to get that money from, for example? So it's really breaking it down and thinking about those little steps along the way and the goals.
I know it's kind of an old tired cliche, but you really don't know where you're going unless you have a map laid out on how you're going to get there.
That's
and,
right.
And it really is true.
Yep, that's right. You know, one of the things that we will share in this class are some financial calculators, and they're all over the web. I mean, you can buy a financial calculator, you know, that you can actually do it with, but there's a lot of them on the web. And those, I think, are really helpful to let people see, you know, just by putting away, you know, $25 a month at, you know, so much interest, what that can grow in over time. And I mentioned 401ks, but I think I can even say I did that for my kids for college. You know, I didn't have that kind of money at the time, but boy, $25 a month, I thought I could come up with that. And now that I have kids in college, it's, you know, I'm glad I did that. It's not paying their whole way, but it sure is helping, just because I put that $25 away and eventually it turned into 50, and then eventually I was able to do 100, you know. But you got to start somewhere, start small and get started. And one of the concepts we talk about is automate those habits. So, you know, make that an automatic payroll deduction, you know, that automatically just happens, comes out of your paycheck or comes out of your bank account, and it just happens automatically. And that's how you get started with these things.
There's a reason for withholding. There's a reason the federal government decided when they were going to tax us on our income that they were going to withhold it from our paychecks, because they knew they'd probably never get it any other way.
That's right.
And so we have to learn how to pay ourselves that way,
right,
too. Is that, I know there are a lot of things there, too, and there's probably not one biggest thing, but is that one of the more common mistakes that we make, is we kind of underestimate our ability to be able to start small and grow?
I think so. You know, it's it really just having the confidence. And I think once you get started, and part of it is just getting started too. And once you get started, it really isn't that hard to do. You can find, if you start realistically, like I said, if you start with a small amount, what you can afford, you know, what can you put away to save? And I tell people all the time, well, when you get that pay raise, you know, you've been living without it. If you get a pay raise, if you've been living without it, so continue to live without it. You know, put at least a portion of that away for whatever that goal might be that you're saving for.
it's difficult. So many people do. You have money in your pocket. It just, that's the old burning the hole in a pocket thing. But it's not. It doesn't light up by itself.
No, that's...
We have to start that fire, and it's something that we can change. That's behavior we can deal with. Right. Now, we talk about saving, but it's not just about saving money, too. It's about how do you spend the money that you have now? Have you ever really sat down and penciled it out to look at where does it actually go?
Yep. And, you know, that is one of the concepts we talked about is tracking your behavior. And I'm sure Barb talked about probably writing down what you eat, having a food diary, whatever. It's the same way with spending. And it's no fun. I tell people, it's not an enjoyable experience usually. But you know what? Do it for a month or two and you'll probably get your eyes open as to where the money is really going. And I know, again, personal experience and even just working with people, just do it for a month or two and see where the money's going. You can make adjustments and then you can stop doing it. But it's interesting when you feel like you're getting in trouble again, go back to it because it does it does help, really. You got to be honest with yourself when you start tracking.
In every business, even small businesses, every penny is accounted for. Even if you don't budget, you do account for everything that goes in and comes in and goes out. So, you know, you're very aware of those types of things. I know it seems like work, and it is work when you do it at the job, but when you do it at home, you could maybe pay yourself that way too. If you realize savings through this, put that away. Maybe if you're thinking about doing some sort of a nice vacation for the family, but just didn't know how you were going to pay for it, you might already have the money.
Right. That's right. And like you said, even it's kind of that pay yourself first. We've said that's an adage that's been used for a long time or a comment that's been used for a long time. But it is true. If you have a goal, you know, start putting that money away and it does accumulate and grow over time.
Now, Mary Beth, I know there are people out there, different types of folks who, whether they be writing books or be on the radio or what have you, have TV shows that try to help folks out financially. And everybody's got their own theories on how things should be done. In some cases, you're preaching to people who are really in serious financial trouble and trying to dig their way out. The sessions that you're doing, are they more for just the average person living with a family at home, the little things that they can do?
You bet. You know, actually, I think anybody can get something out of this. We're going to give you lots of ideas, and then we're going to encourage you to take two or three of them and implement them. So we're going to actually, like I said, we have 10 different strategies that we're going to share between the two sessions with lots of ideas in it. And we're not going to expect you to do them all. In fact, I mentioned originally this program had 25, which can be overwhelming. So we're going to share 10 and we're going to encourage you to take a couple of them, what seems practical that you can take and do. And then we're going to encourage you to put them to work, practice them. See how it goes. And if they don't work, then pick a couple more. So we're going to give you lots of ideas that hopefully you can use in the years ahead.
Well, and just the brainstorming opportunities that you'll have to visit with different people about some of the ideas or situations that they might be looking at, too, might be helpful to someone else.
Right. Get ideas from other people about what worked and what didn't work. And, yep, you bet. We're going to give you lots of, like we talked about tracking spending. We're going to give you some ideas for how you might do that. Mm-hmm. There's different strokes for different folks.
So there might be a little homework here.
Again, if it's your goal, if you want to do that, then you can do that.
Actually, if you come away from these sessions and don't have some homework for the rest of your life, then you probably are not getting much out of it anyway. You need to carry these things. These are real life examples that you can use every day to try to save a little bit extra money or at least spend what you have a little bit more wisely.
You bet. Yep. That's the purpose of it. That's why we're doing it.
Especially folks with kids in college.
Yes. Yep.
We all know how expensive and how rapidly that trouble adds up real fast.
You and that tuition forever. Gets raised every year.
Exactly. Yes, it does. Yep. Well, so, but you do want people to pre-register for this.
Yes, we do. Actually, you're going to get some great handouts. We want to make sure we have enough of those. And we do need to know if you're planning to come or not. And so you can register. You can either call the Wellness Center in Oneida or you can visit the Cass County Extension Office. There is a $15 registration fee. And if you come to a session at the door, it'll be $10. So we do need to know ahead of time if you want to save a little bit for both sessions. It's $15, and you can send that to the Cass County Extension Office.
If you pre-register, it's $15 for both sessions. If you register at the door, it's $10 for each. So if you register at the door already, they're going to be saying, you know, here's a way you could have saved money.
That's right.
Again, you can get those at the Health and Wellness Center in Anita, which is where those sessions will be held on the 19th and the 26th, a couple of Thursday nights. Or you can get them at the Cass County Extension office, or you can go online to the Extension website for Cass County. And I guess without reading the whole string here, the easiest way I can think of to do it, just go to our website at kjn.com, go to our links page where we link to other things, and under Extension offices, you'll see all the area ones. Just click on the Cass County office, and that'll get you where you need to go. Very good. Well, we hope to have a nice crowd. How many can you handle?
Oh, you know, it says registration is limited, but we'll take, I don't know, we'll take 50.
Hey, money's tight. We need to find ways to be able to make more. Even if the boss isn't going to give us more, we can still find some extra money there.
Yeah.
Very good. Good hints. Mary Beth Kaufman, thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.